We will continue our study together, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look just at one verse in John 15, this passage where Jesus describes himself as the vine and those who belong to him as the branches, and he tells us that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And so John 15, and we'll look down, well, we'll read verses 1 through 8. I had planned just to read verse 8, but let's read verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And then over in Ephesians chapter 6, we're looking particularly at verse 4, but we'll read verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, we ask now that you would come by your Holy Spirit, and as we think about bearing fruit in you, Lord Jesus, and for you, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bless us with your Spirit, and that indeed you would come and abide with us, and we would abide in you and with you, and your word would abide in us, and you would grow us and prune us and tend us and nourish us and feed us, Lord Jesus, so that in you, as we believe in you, as we live believing in you, that, Lord, you would cause us to bear much fruit for your praise and so prove to be your disciples. Lord, continue to give us encouragement and instruction now as we think about bearing fruit for you and in you in the arena of the family. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the husband-wife relationship we've seen is the permanent and primary relationship in the home, but it is by no means the only important relationship in the home. And the temporary relationship in the home, for most couples, the Lord is so kind to bless with children. And we've seen in verse 4, looking at just sort of a cursory glance now at the duty, the responsibility, what does fruit look like in terms of the home? And we've seen that parents have the privilege and the duty to bring children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We've talked about the instruction of the Lord, that this instruction is by example and is by formal teaching, ourselves talking about Scripture, reading Scripture, as we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and following, but also formal education. That one of the great travesties as history is going to look back over the 1900s, the 20th century in the United States of America. It is going to write that one of the great failures of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ was to impress, instruct, and insist upon God's people giving their own children a Christian education, a Christ-centered education, a Christian upbringing. And so this is a crucial part of what God says is the privilege and duty of parents. This is what fruit looks like for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we want to look briefly tonight at this whole matter of the discipline of the Lord. And we want to look at several passages of Scripture. First of all, over in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. And what we're going to see is that the most basic tool or level of God's discipline for all of us as His children is His Word. That's the most basic form of discipline. The root word of discipline, disciple, that's what a follower of Jesus is. We are disciples. We're pupils. We're those who are being taught by the Lord Jesus. And so this whole matter of discipline, what a blessing it is that Jesus is teaching us. He's instructing us. And here we see the sad testimony of the history of God's people. And we see there in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 and following. We're going to look at a passage in the New Testament that gives us a commentary on this history. But I want you to look at verse 15. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently, or over and over, repeatedly, to them, talking about the fathers, generation after generation, to them by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, but they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, until there was no remedy. And so the most basic form of God's correction is Him coming by His Spirit to instruct us as His people. Now, if you'll turn with me over in the book of Acts, we see Stephen in his testimony giving a similar testimony about the history of Israel in the Old Testament. And here in Acts chapter 7, in verse 51 and following, we see again this reference. But I want you to notice that whenever prophets in the Old Testament would come with the Word of God, and I want you to be thinking now of parents teaching and speaking and telling children and young people, here's what God says. If you listen to that, praise the Lord. But if you don't, you're not just rejecting your mama or your daddy or a prophet or a preacher. Look at Stephen's testimony again, now summarizing the whole history, like we see this summary in 2 Chronicles 36 in verse 51. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute, and they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it? And so the most basic level of discipline is instruction. Now turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And we see the example of the Apostle Paul. He is addressing the children of God in the church. He addresses all different categories and groups of people in the church. And notice in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6, he addresses the children. God says, now I got a message for you, children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he says, now I want to tell you why this is right. Because the fifth commandment says what? Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And he says, now let me tell you what's going to happen. If you listen to this instruction, good things are in store for you, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land or in the earth. He says two things. He says, if you heed the word of God, if you listen to the gospel and follow Jesus and evidence that love for Jesus by obeying your mom and daddy, here are two blessings you're going to have. Number one, it will go well with you. It will go well with you. You're going to have a life of blessing from Almighty God. God's smile will be upon you. And then secondly, God says, I will give you a long life. And so those are the two blessings. Now, the opposite is true. If you don't heed the instruction, and he says, now here's what God says, then what? Well, it's not going to go well with you. You're going to have a hard path to walk in. Instead of having a smooth path to walk in, you're going to be walking out in the briar patch. And which will be the best place to walk? On the smooth path that God has laid before you or out in the briar patch? And then you'll live long. Well, what's the opposite of that? The Lord's chastening will be upon you. If you're not a Christian, he warns that you're going to stand before the living God. And he very well may cut your life short. And if you are a Christian, he may chasten you by taking you home early if you love Jesus. But we see that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in terms of the Lord's Supper, where the Lord warned the Christians in Corinth that if they didn't heed the instruction, then the Lord was going to take them to more severe schoolrooms. Okay? He was going to take them to remedial school. And so here we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and just turn there with me. The Lord says, listen to my word, heed instruction, and if you don't listen to that most basic form of God instructing and discipling you, then the Lord says, I love my children. And so I guess I'm going to have to take you to remedial school. Now, when I was in college, when I would take various classes, they would give what was called a placement test. And that placement test was that you had to demonstrate just a basic elementary knowledge of whatever subject you were going to take. And if you couldn't pass that basic elementary music or English or math, then they would make you take a class that was started with a number zero. And the zero whatever number class indicated, you're not going to get college credit for this class because you've got things you've got to learn before you can even get to the level of taking a college course. And by the way, in music, the Lord is very kind to me. I didn't have to take a single zero class, for those of you who are going, well, you know where this illustration came from. But I did have a close friend that did have to take more than one. Now, there were other subjects we won't talk about. But Jesus says that if we don't listen, and my friend, the reason why he had to take that course over again was because he hadn't learned previously. He hadn't paid attention when he was in high school. And so now he had to go back. Well, you see, Jesus is very concerned that his children learn. And he says, if we don't learn by just the instruction that your parents give and that the faithful preachers of the gospel would give, the elders of the church teaching you, your parents teaching you, then the Lord says, I'm going to have to take you back and put you in pre-spiritual kindergarten. And so what does that look like? Well, let's just look at a couple of passages where God teaches us what this looks like. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And here we have a passage where the Lord is instructing, giving instruction about the Lord's Supper. And in verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Now, I want you to notice the bottom line in verse 33. Why in the world would Almighty God chasten his people with weakness, maybe spiritual weakness, maybe physical weakness, and then physical sickness is listed here, and even physical death? Some of the people there in Corinth had been chastened severe, and that's what you call severe chastening by the Lord. And he says, the reason I'm doing this is because you didn't listen. You didn't pay attention. So I'm having to take you to a more elementary, a more rudimentary schoolroom so that you'll learn to trust and obey Jesus. And the reason I'm doing this is so that you won't be condemned along with the world. I'm doing this so that you won't perish eternally. I'm doing this because I care for my children. So let's go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And here we have now a passage that shows us the place of discipline in God's economy. The place of discipline. Not only do parents give their children the instruction of the Lord, teaching by example, teaching by precept, explaining the Word of God, showing children and young people, here's how to connect the dots of taking the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ and applying it to everyday life. And if children are wise, they will embrace and heed, and they will learn all of those things. But if they're not wise, then there are harder schoolrooms that they're placed in. And so let's look and see what God says about this in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He's the author and finisher. He's the one who secured our salvation. He's the founder, the author of our faith, and he's the one who brings it to completion. And so we live life how? Looking unto Jesus. That's how you run the race of life. And if you're going to run a race, he says you got to get the weights off, because, you know, the weights will weigh you down, cause you to not be able to run. And the weights, he mentions the weight and the sin which clings so closely to us. And so those things that are not important, and those things that are wicked in God's sight, we're to set aside and we're to look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. And so discipline, not pleasant when God puts us. I describe this as God's gymnasium. And when we don't heed the most basic workout machine, which is God's Word instructing us, then the Lord puts us on other workout machines. You know, you've been to a gymnasium and you know how some workout machines are more vigorous than others. And here Hebrews 12 says that God, because he loves his children, he loves us as his children, he is disciplining us. He is putting us in hard places to teach us what we need to learn about hating our own sin and loving Jesus. Hating our own sin and loving Jesus. And so notice what he says, quoting from Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. And so there are two extremes that children can have in the correction of parents. And one is to regard lightly, to be Mr. Tough Guy, Miss Tough Guy. You know, you can spank me. It won't bother me. I mean, when I had children growing up, I'm not going to name any names, but I had some of my children that at times exhibited that attitude. Well, Daddy, you can take me to the laundry room and spank me if you want to. It's not going to bother me. Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. But then there's the other extreme. Nor be weary when reproved by him, nor faint when reproved by him. And I also had some children that if you just hinted that you might have to correct them, they would melt and begin crying immediately. I mean, you hadn't even said, I'm going to take you to the laundry room and have to give you a spanking. But they were just falling apart. And God says that when we face difficulties and struggles in life, we're not to do either of those extremes. We're not to pretend to be Mr. Tough Guy, Miss Tough Gal. Well, you can do whatever you want. I'm tough. I can take life. Dish it out. Nor are we to just fall apart and say, nobody loves me. Oh, it's terrible. I give up. God says neither of those are the response that we're to have when tough times come, when God puts us in his schoolroom to teach us. And why? Verse 6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. God chastens how many of his children? Every son that he receives. Every child of God that's a true child of God, God says, the evidence of my love for you is I don't let you just go your merry way. But I have my hand upon you to draw you closer and closer and closer to me. Look at verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And sadly, in our day and time, there are many. But it ought not be. It ought to be, if a culture is filled with people who fear God and who have even the most rudimentary understanding of the role of what a parent is, it is to help children grow up to understand that if you do what's wrong in God's sight, there are bad consequences that will be in store for you. And if you do what's right, then that's the good way to go. Verse 8, if you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good that we may share his holiness. And so this instruction that is not just words but now is correction. It's instruction that has kind of teeth in it. It is for the purpose of causing us to turn from whatever we're doing wrong and to turn to Jesus and give ourselves anew to him. That's why God disciplines us as his children. Earthly fathers and mothers have the privilege and the duty of disciplining children who don't listen to instruction, of giving correction, for the purpose of helping children learn to understand that there's consequences and to see that God is good and his ways are good. And you see the end there in verse 10, that we may share his holiness. Now, what's the benefit of sharing God's holiness? Joy, happiness, peace, the smile of God. All good things. Look at verse 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be pleasant, but rather painful. You see, this discipline that we're talking about by earthly parents and God Himself, at the moment when we are going through the discipline, it seems to be very painful, doesn't it? Our experience is not that this is a joyful thing. I can never remember, and believe it or not, I can remember back being a little boy. I can remember my mama and my daddy, me not heeding their instruction and ending up having to have a spanking. And I can never remember any time they gave me a spanking when I thought, oh, I'm so enjoying this spanking. This is so good. This is so fun. I want to do this again real soon. I never experienced that. Well, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by. And one of the marks of a fool in the book of Proverbs is a fool can receive many blows, and what does the fool do? Just keep right on going. A fool refuses to be corrected, to be trained, to be turned from his way. Every time I read about all discipline for the moment seems not joyful but painful, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. I'll never forget when I was a little boy, we were at my aunt's, and we were having a picnic, and my uncle had built a slide, and it was just, I don't know how many feet tall it was, but you felt like you were, you know, kind of up in the top of the bleacher section when you climbed to the top of the ladder of this sliding board. And it had a couple of dips in it going down. It was quite a ride. And at the bottom of this slide, the rain and the little feet over the years had washed all the dirt away. And there were these big, huge, gnarly roots from a nearby tree that were sticking up out of the ground. And so you had to kind of pay attention where you were going to land so that you missed those big, big, gnarly roots sticking up. And we had this picnic going on, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw my dad throw his hamburger up in the air, which was unusual, and just go tearing across the yard, running as fast as he could go. And I'm just kind of, what is going on? And then I saw my younger sister, who was about 3 years old, had climbed to the top of this slide, and she was sitting down and beginning to slide. And my dad knew what was going to happen. He knew that at the bottom of that slide, even though she thought she was just having the most fun time in her life, that at the bottom of that slide, she was going to hit those gnarly roots and either break an arm or a leg or her neck. And so my dad was racing, and he knew he couldn't get there in time to stop her from going down the slide, so he did the next best thing. He decided he would go to the bottom of the slide and catch her. And so, sure enough, she was just squealing with delight all the way down, and she comes flying off the bottom of the slide, and he got there just in the nick of time. But all he could do was just grab her by the arm. And, of course, she was very shocked. This big arm out of nowhere grabs her and slings her kind of roughly around and throws her up in the air, and he caught her. And she started crying. She didn't think that was really nice. And yet she didn't even realize at the time what she had been spared from. Now, that is the picture that God gives to us, that sometimes He grabs a hold of us so that we will not plummet to having horrifying consequences, and he sometimes it feels like he's being rough with us. That's what discipline is, and that's what parents have the duty and the privilege of doing with our own children. Now turn with me to the book of Proverbs, and in closing, we're just going to look at a couple of passages here in the book of Proverbs. First, Proverbs chapter 13. And when little bitty children, when they're little bitty, you are just caring for them. When they get a little older and you are sure they understand what they're doing, then you have to begin to make sure that they understand what no means. And they have to learn the consequences when they do what is wrong. And here in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 we read, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." And so we live in a culture where there's a lot of misunderstanding about what real love looks like in the home and in the church. People view discipline as a barbaric thing. And it needs to be done correctly, yes. It needs to be done age appropriate. We're not talking about child abuse. As a matter of fact, to not correct children is a horrifying form of abusing children. As a matter of fact, verse 24 says that if you don't spank a child, you're doing what? You're hating your son. You're saying, I don't care whether you learn the consequences of right and wrong and that there's a good God or not. Look over in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. "Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on putting him to death." A striking passage where God says, while there is hope, discipline your son. I've had the joy of having fruit trees. And here in recent years, I've done battle with the beavers. But if I can keep the beavers off of my fruit trees, you plant a little fruit tree and it begins to grow. And I had one fruit tree that was growing crooked. And so I had to put pressure on that fruit tree, and I tied it with stakes. And the only time I've kind of wished I had a camera of a beaver cutting one of my trees down. I went out one morning and a beaver had cut this little tree down, but I frustrated him big time because he couldn't drag it off. It was tied. Even though the rascal had cut my fruit tree down, he couldn't carry it off because it had been staked. It had been pulled back. Well, if I hadn't staked that tree, if I had let that tree just grow for 10 years crooked, then how easy would it have been to go out and pull that tree so that it was growing in the right direction? It would have been almost impossible, wouldn't it? And so that's the picture that we have here in Proverbs 19, that while children are young, that you are to help them learn while they're young, and not desire their death. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And let's see. Let's look in let's go over to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And there's a lot in this chapter. We're going to come back and look at this when we talk about children. But look at verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. And so here's the picture. And again, this is not hurting children. It's not abusing children. We're not talking about that. But giving godly discipline. And God says this is an expression of showing the mercy and the kindness of the living God to your child. Well, there's much more that we could talk about when a child is young. A spanking is a tremendous a blessing and form of this discipline. We have the example over in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 24, of David, and God comes to David and gives him a choice of the discipline when he had sinned against the Lord as the king. And look here in 2 Samuel chapter 24. Verse 10 and following, but David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people. And David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. And when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say to David, thus says the Lord, three things I offer you. Choose one of them, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, shall 3 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what answer I shall return to him who sent me. And then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord. For his mercy is great, but let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel from the morning until the appointed time. And it talks about how that the Lord sent the angel to destroy. And then there was the intercession. David cries out to the Lord and built an altar, and the Lord stopped the plague. And so I think that's a good passage to instruct us that as children get older, especially, when they're younger, a spanking is very helpful because it connects. If you do wrong, there's going to be pain. But as children get older, I think having a variety of consequences to help young people and to offer to them even at times. Which would you like for a correction to help impress upon you that there are consequences? So I'm going to give you a choice. Now, I don't think parents always have to give a choice, but I think it's a legitimate thing to do so. Well, Scripture has just so much to say about the blessing of instruction, but we live in a culture that despises discipline. But God's kind of discipline, loving, patient, gentle discipline that parents give to their children is a tremendous blessing from Almighty God. And we praise God for His Word. We don't want to follow the so-called wisdom of men. You know, there's a United Nations treaty, the Treaty on the Child, and one of the aspects of that so-called treaty is it outlaws corporal discipline. It outlaws. It says it's something that shouldn't take place, and that goes against what God says in His Word. Well, may the Lord write these things upon our hearts, and may we understand that this is the way God is dealing with us. And a parent that never disciplines a child is teaching a child to live in a fairy tale world. You see, a fairy tale world is the unreal world. It's the world that says you can do anything you want to and there are no consequences. That's not the real world. There's a God who reigns on high, and He has a standard of right and wrong. And if we break that standard, there are consequences. Praise God for Jesus, who is our Savior. Praise God for His paths. And we as parents and grandparents want to grow to bear more fruit for God's praise. The application of this for us as parents and grandparents, we want to give God's kind of correction. Gentle, loving, and yet firm discipline when it's needed. And then for you children and young people, when you are disciplined, even though it's not pleasant at the moment, you know what? You ought to thank God when you are corrected. You ought to say, thank you, Jesus. And after it's all over, you ought to say thank you to your mom and daddy for loving me enough to teach me, to correct me. What a blessing. What a blessing the paths of God are. And we want to bear fruit for His praise. Let's pray. Father, please forgive us of our sins, and thank You, O Lord, that You love us as Your children, that You don't let us veer off the path and go to destruction and plummet to hell. That, Lord, when we turn away, that You come and bring conviction to our hearts. That, Lord, we see in 1 Peter 3 that You cause husbands' prayers to be hindered when we as husbands don't love our wives and live with them according to knowledge, according to what You say and according to what they need. Lord, we tremble when we think of this passage in 1 Corinthians 11. Of how You discipline Your church, Your people. Lord, we pray that we would heed Your word. We would listen to our mamas and daddies, and we would listen to whoever would teach us the Bible faithfully and rightly. And that, Lord, we wouldn't have to learn the hard way. Oh, Lord, please, bless us as parents and grandparents and those who have the joy of nurturing children. Lord, help us to understand that we don't discipline because we're ticked. We don't discipline because we don't know what else to do. We don't discipline out of anger. We don't discipline losing self-control. But we discipline because we love You and we love our children, and we want them to understand that there are painful consequences for doing what is evil in Your sight. Lord Jesus, we pray that all of us might rejoice in You this evening and give ourselves anew to You, to cling to You, Lord Jesus, and to bear forth much fruit for Your praise in our homes. In Jesus we pray. Amen.